Welcome back to the land of the purple.
Welcome.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
The Purple Project Podcast is on. Going behind the scenes of Kansas State Athletics, from the action on the gridiron to the octagon of doom, and much more. Plus making rounds about the happenings in the community. Triple P is loud and proud and ready to take charge in the Big 12 Conference. Podcasting to the Little Apple, Kansas City, and the world. It's the Purple Project Podcast. And now, here's your host, Eddie Greer III.
K-State Nation, this is the Purple Project Podcast here in Manhattan, Kansas. Eddie Greer III here in Manhattan, Kansas for the Purple Project Podcast, where we talk about all things Kansas State Wildcat Athletics. And just over 24 hours ago, K-State falling, dropping their season opener slash home opener to Arkansas State, one of the surprises in the Big 12 yesterday. Sun Belt taking charge. K-State, one of those teams, unfortunately. KU got beat down last night in Iowa State. We'll get to that back into this podcast. But K-State, though, losing to Arkansas State, 35-31. And we're going to get right down to business. Bring on my co-host from out west in San Diego, California. Alex, what's happening?
Hello, Eddie. How are you today?
I am doing okay. Not the best weekend of football as far as my teams go. Trash defenses, still the same story. Like living in a cycle, seems like. Yeah, not a very good weekend of football on my end of the spectrum.
Yeah, after the K-State game, the Falcons really didn't throw you a bone today. They did some nice things offensively, but they gave up they made life for the Seahawks pretty easy on offense.
You sure did. They sure did.
On a 35 passing for 4 touchdowns, no interceptions. So yeah, he has. I get that with you, but. But yeah, Eddie, I quite frankly, I tweeted this on Saturday. This is the first thing that I tweeted post the K-State loss, which I missed the end of it because I was actually getting my hair cut. So I was listening to it on SiriusXM when I was driving down to get my hair cut. And then when I went in, K-State had kicked the field goal to go up 3. So I,
yep.
I missed the last probably a good thing I missed the last 2:30.
Yeah.
Those were the two minutes and 30 seconds that I did not listen to or watch of the game. Like I said, I watched about probably 2.5 quarters and listened to probably about the next quarter on the quarter plus on the radio, and then missed that last 2:30. But the first thing I tweeted was the game went final was, man, I'm so happy the Chiefs are there because, my gosh, they numb any pain I get from my other sports teams letting me down. Like, anything the Royals do, anything K-State does, it just seems, Eddie, to get numbed by the fact that I can say, well, I got the Chiefs. I got the Chiefs. So, thank goodness for them to keep my sanity. I don't know what I did prior to them having Mahomes and them cheaping and doing everything that was involved in cheating, which was a lot. So, thank goodness that I have them. I'm eager to break this game down with you.
Yeah, right now it's not a good start for my teams. Yeah, like you said, Falcons offensively, we had 3 wide receivers go over 100 yards and still lose the damn game. So, yeah. I mean, you get all these big named guys, Dante Fowler, and I mean, this is it for Dan Quinn and Thomas Dimitroff for what it is. So, I mean,
this is put up shut up for Dan Quinn and that group. I would
assume. For me, they should have been fired when they were 1-7 last year. That's.
I was really surprised when they weren't. To be 100% honest, I know this is the Falcons podcast, but mentioning it is interesting because I figured they would. They didn't. At the end of the year, I figured they'd really go didn't go. And you come in, Matt Ryan threw for 450 yards. Anytime your quarterback throws for 450 yards, Eddie, you should win the game.
We should win the game, yeah, man.
That's just crazy. And, you know, I really thought coming into today that the Falcons actually had a good chance there, because I thought they were revamped and I thought they were improved. And we all know how good they can be offensively, but it seems to be defense that gets them. And it was, seems like it was the same story for the Falcons today.
Yeah, and that's going to be a good transition from a trashy Falcons defense today, from a trashy K-State defense that, man, it seemed like, I mean, I was at the game yesterday, and I know we're recording over 24 hours. This is Sunday, September 13th, 2020. This podcast will go out on its regular scheduled date, Tuesday. But, yeah, trashy K-State defense, and before we talk more about them, and I don't know how I ignored this. I heard this on another podcast, but we talked about opt-outs on this podcast and whatnot. We talked about Walter Neal. That was a huge loss there, transfer portal. But I did not know. I thought it was a joke or just a rumor about this, but apparently it turned out to be true. Jonathan Alexander, yep, opt-out. And this dude stand out last year, right off the bat last year, made plays and played a lot last year on the back end of the year, and no Neal and no Jonathan Alexander, and what we thought to be one of K-State's strengths coming in. I know it's only one game, and we're not trying to overreact or anything, but it is what it is. Truth's out there. K-State played like trash on defense. I'm sorry. But the back end, they got lit up yesterday by Jonathan Adams. I think he gave me nightmares last night. 3 touchdowns yesterday. 8 catches for 98 yards. And Jerome McPherson tried to go yesterday. And I saw him, and me and my wife were sitting a little bit lower than our usual seats because it was GA and the whole thing. You spread out, you know, 6 feet, do the whole wear the mask thing, do all that, da-da-da-da-da. And so we were right there looking at the players. And Jerome McPherson did make the start. He was hurt, apparently. And, yeah, he was on the sideline basically playing cheerleader the rest of the game. So that sucked, and then you put in, and I went back because I went back and read your tweets. Third string safety get beat. He got burnt on one of those touchdowns, but it was Ryan Hennington, what his name was. I was trying to. He's apparently the new number 17, replacing Jonathan Alexander apparently, and he got beat on, I believe it was a trick play, to the wide receiver with a double pass. Yeah, he apparently tripped on himself, fell down, and he was gone. But yeah, absolutely, you know, I mean, there's some plays made, but yeah, the second half, K-State, you would have thought going up 21-7, you think, okay, I mean, we got this team. We got to put them foot on the throat. But we did not do that, and does not hurt offense. Oh, that's going to be a whole other discussion here in a little bit on the offensive side of the ball. But defensively first, I mean, yeah, the back end really got lit up. A.J. Parker played poorly yesterday, falling on his face a few times there. But, yeah, I mean, K-State, Joe Klanemann, not so candy in first game of the season.
You know, Eddie, I'm going to go back to something I said last week on the podcast. I also tweeted it as well. But I said if K-State is not, if they're not ready for this Arkansas State team, they can lose.
I said that
last week, and there were a couple reasons why I said that. The first was they played the week before Arkansas State. So You know, they're going, they're clicking. K-State was already kind of behind the eight ball there, and you knew that they would be. So I figured that would play an effect. Number two, I figured that K-State was probably going to be without some guys, because we didn't know who had tested positive, who hadn't tested positive, and I figured that, well, I'm sure that there will be some, there might be a starter or two that might, you know, have a positive test that we don't know about, or someone's banged up that we don't know about, or things like that. So K-State might be without a couple guys. Honestly, that's probably just something that we could plan on all year. And then the third thing is this Arkansas State team, they won 8 games last year. They won the bowl game. And they are considered one of the favorites to win the Sun Belt this year. And then we, on top of all that, we saw how well they played Memphis. And we talked last week about how good Memphis is. That's a really good football team. So, you know, you factor all that in. I said point blank, look, if K-State doesn't show up and they don't play well, they're probably not going to win the game. And they did. You know, starting with the defense, because that's what we're talking about to begin. Well, first off, I just want to say this, Eddie. I'm really glad we didn't record this yesterday. I have a feeling what I say today will be much different than what I would have said yesterday, because yesterday, I was just ticked. I was just ticked that it happened. I was really frustrated about it, and I don't know what I would have said on the podcast, so I'm glad we're doing it doing it on a Sunday. But from a defensive perspective, I really thought Clay Enderman was going to have this defense prepared better than they were. You know, look, Jonathan Adams, Eddie, he's a beast. The guy's going to be playing on Sundays. There's no denying that. That guy, he's got the build of an NFL receiver. He's got the speed. He's got the size. He's got the hands. He's got the real deal. He's got the package. And, look, he's probably going to be one of the best receivers that K-State goes up against this year.
True, yep.
Probably he'll probably be better than most Big 12 receivers they go up against. But with that said, Eddie, that's no excuse.
No excuse.
Eight receptions, 98 yards, 3 touchdowns. And after the game, Chris Klieman said, you know, oh, yeah, I mean, you know, we tried to double him, and it just didn't work out. And I'm thinking, what, it just didn't work out? What do you mean it just didn't work out? What I saw was a bunch of H. Parker, for what I got to watch, and then going back, and then, because I did record the rest of the game when I left, so I was able to at least go back and watch.
Yeah, I was at the game in person yesterday, and I wanted to definitely hear your thoughts, because you said you were watching on the TV side of things.
Yep. So I did still see everything from pretty much wire to wire on TV, because I came back and I still did watch a good chunk of that as well, the quarter and a half I missed. But for the most part, what I saw was Jonathan Adams really getting, you know, A.J. Parker really on an island. I didn't feel like there was a lot of help coming his way, because once he started to dominate, you know, A.J. Parker seemed to start to follow him around on the field more. And then I didn't see a lot of help. I did, personally. And so, I don't know what you saw at the game, but I didn't see him getting a lot of help. So I don't know what Chris Klieman had with. We tried, but it just didn't work out that way. I don't know what that means, to be 100% honest. Maybe, you know, there's somebody who's more football savvy than me that can describe what that means, but I'm not sure what that means, because what I saw was an undersized A.J. Parker who was smaller than Jonathan Adams, who couldn't deal with the size. And that's always been the thing about A.J. Parker is, you know, does he have the size to be able to match up with the big receivers? He's a really good corner, but does he have the size? And he just didn't. And the thing with Jonathan Adams is it wasn't even like he had to work that hard for what he was getting.
It's
so easy. It was just like stealing candy from a baby, Eddie. It was so darn easy for them to get the ball to Jonathan Adams, especially when they were driving. And I don't care what injuries you have defensively, what's going on, first game with the new defensive coordinator, I don't care. If a Big 12 school of K-State's caliber should not be getting owned like that by a Sun Belt receiver. And that's no, like I said, no disrespect to Jonathan Adams, because the dude's going to be playing on Sunday. He's a beast. He's a complete beast. But there's just no excuse. In my mind, there's just no excuse for that. And that was the biggest problem. And then the second thing is K-State did look physical on the defensive line. I thought that they did look like they were playing pretty physical on the defensive line. But then you look at the But then you look at the rushing stats in Arkansas State. You know, they have 159 yards rushing. Jamal Jones, a running back, 16 carries for 95 yards, 5.9 for an average. Lincoln Pear had 4 carries, 65 yards, an average of over 16 a carry. Brian Graham has 7 carries, 24 yards, over 3 yards a carry. And so while you're sitting there thinking, man, K-State looks physical, you know, on their offensive line, they were still giving up a bunch of yards. And then, I mean, when you go, just to top it all off, Eddie, when you go and you look at the total yards, you know, K-State gives up 489 yards total. That's just excusable. I you know, it's just inexcusable. There's no excuse for it. I understand K-State was at third string, at a third, one of their safeties. They were third string.
Third string safety, yeah.
Yeah, third string safety. I understand they didn't have Khalil Duke. I get that. I understand.
I was just about to mention him. Yep, go ahead. Yep.
I understand they're missing a lot of guys defensively. I understand Wayne Jones got hurt, obviously, the really scary play on the last drive. Fortunately, he is okay. Just a concussion and a couple other minor things, so it doesn't even sound like it's going to be a long-term injury, thank goodness. Mm-hmm. So, you know, K-State was down some guys, and I get that, but that just can't happen. You know, especially when K-State wants to accomplish, you know, there's players tweeting about, you know, they're going to make it, you know, I saw one player this week, can't remember who it was. Even if I did, I probably wouldn't say their name. Well, maybe I would. I don't know. Anyway, I can't remember what player it was. So it's a moot point. But someone tweeted, you know, they're gonna make a movie about this. You know, okay, well that's great. You know, have that confidence is great, but I don't think they're gonna make a movie about K-State beating Arkansas. I just don't think it's gonna be a movie. Yeah, if you've got that confidence, if you think, Eddie, that you are going to be that, you're that good, you think you're that elite, you don't lose games to Arkansas State. I understand that the it was a wacky off season. K-State didn't get to practice a lot. They had some changes within the coaching staff. I understand all of that. Arkansas State is a good football team. They're a good football team. I also understand that. And this game was never going to be an easy game. I think you and I said that last week. This isn't going to be an easy game. But great teams find a way to win these games, even when they're not playing well. And it didn't need to be pretty. You know, I wouldn't have cared if K-State squeaked out a 3-point win, Eddie. I really wouldn't.
Yeah, yep.
Because I understand that and fully believe that Chris Klieman would be able to right the ship. I still think that he will. I still think that K-State has potential to have a winning record in Big 12 play. I still believe that because I think K-State can get things right. I understand how funky the season is. But when you want to be as good as this K-State team wants to be, you got to win games like this. And like I said, I'm not coming out like so many other K-State fans and saying, well, my gosh, this team's going to go 3-7 this year. I don't believe that at all, Eddie. I really don't. I still have the same outlook, for the most part, as I had on this K-State team in the past. Now, if you want to get, you know, people want to get on Twitter and they want to, you know, hear all the people who are saying, you know, let's fire Chris Klieman now over this, because, yeah, that's a smart decision. Or, you know, hey, this team's going to go, you know, KU saying, well, at least we'll have the same record as K-State in your dreams. So, no, I'm not buying into all that hoopla. I still think they'll right the ship, but, you know, man, what a reality check, especially on defense. You know, giving up nearly 500 yards, letting a receiver from Arkansas State just tear you up like that and expose you. Man, talk about a wake-up call for that K-State defense.
Yeah, well, the final score, for those of you who haven't been known by now or been kind of been asleep for a while, K-State falling at home at Bill Snyder Family Stadium to Arkansas State Red Wolves 35-31. Final drive, Arkansas State goes down the field after Blake Lynch kicks a field goal to go up by 3. Led by their starting quarterback, Logan Bonner, and connect with Jonathan Adams, who we've already discussed on this podcast already, put it on the K-State secondary there with the 17-yard touchdown to clinch the huge upset win for head coach Blake Anderson and the Red Wolves, which he said they believed that they could beat K-State. So, I mean, Alex Shuden one hit a couple points right there that you were saying. Yeah, Arkansas State, they already played a game in. I know we were missing some guys, but Arkansas State, they're missing 9 starters.
Yeah.
9 starters, and yet come into Manhattan and beat the K-State Wildcats.
Just to reiterate, you know, it's inexcusable, and it's another example of K-State can't use the excuses of, well, you know, this offseason was so funky and so weird, and man, we were missing a ton of guys. K-State was missing a ton of guys, but so was Arkansas State. Both teams were missing a lot of guys. That's going to be a theme that you're going to see all season long. Everybody's going to be missing a lot of guys, probably, for a majority of the games. It's just, like I said, getting back to it, it's even hard to say to kind of even describe, just because it's just still kind of mind-boggling to me that this happened, because I really didn't expect this to happen. But
nobody did.
I really didn't. I knew Arkansas State would be difficult, but I really thought K-State was better than this, or I really thought that they had turned. I guess I thought that they were a notch higher than they probably are. I think that they probably have a little further to go than I probably thought, and that might be the best way to explain that. But even if K-State, when they got to field goal, with everything that had gone wrong, when they got to field goal from Blake Lynch, who up 31-28, man, Eddie, even if their defense could have gotten a stop there, they could have escaped with a 31-28 win. That would have really shown me that K-State was on a different level than what I currently believe they're on. Because even if everything had gone wrong, if they could have found a way to close that game out and won that game, even when they weren't playing well, even when things weren't going and they got that stop late, I would have said, you know what? This K-State team, they didn't play well. They had a lot of issues. There's a ton of stuff they need to address. But you know what? They found a way to win a game when things weren't going their way. And that's a step that this team is trending in the right direction. And great teams find a way to win those types of games. And K-State's trending in that direction. That would have been my outlook, honestly, if they would have found a way to win that. But just that one possession, swinging, and then not being able to get that stop, and Arkansas State being able to go through that K-State defense like a knife through butter on that last drive, told me everything I needed to know about, you know, that K-State defense. They're not where they need to be. And quite frankly, if they can't get that buttoned up, you know, it could be a long season for that defense. And we may be saying, you know what? We didn't think Scotty Hazleton is a big loss, but maybe it's a bigger loss than we thought.
Yeah, and I want to correct something real quick before I move on any further. Yeah, so that last touchdown pass was Lane Hatcher, but Logan Bonner got the start, and we saw most of him through most of the game, and late in the game, bringing on their second quarterback, Lane Hatcher, to make that game-winning drive there. That was even more sick to your stomach right there. But yeah, you touched on it right there. Yeah, I mean, good teams find a way to win games, especially if you don't play well. So yeah, this is, and again, K-State folks, this is only one game, but if the Wildcat defense doesn't start to tighten up the screws a little bit, especially, I mean, you got a week off here right now, but next week, whoo, going to Norman, that's a whole nother discussion there. And yeah, they're going to be looking, obviously, to avenge last year's upset here in Manhattan. But yeah, K-State right now, this is a step backwards on defense for a team. Last year was Scotty Hazleton, who was the defensive coordinator for taking Michigan State, which Michigan State, they ain't even playing. That was even more frustrating, unfortunately, for Big Ten, because they decided to not play. But Scotty Hazleton, he's not even coaching the game. So, that's on another front by itself. But yeah, I mean, Khalid Duke, all the hype around Khalid Duke, I knew it when we all said that, you know, oh, Khalid Duke this, Khalid Duke getting the hype. I didn't even see him. All I saw was Bronson Massey started on the other end of Wyatt Huber yesterday. Bronson, he came with some big plays on defensive line yesterday. Drew Wiley was in the middle of some as well. I can't think of the other person right now. I'll throw it up here in a little bit, but those guys. Bronson Massey had a decent game on the line. So he's a senior. So yeah, I mean, they made plays early on, but that second half, they were in. Oh, we'll get to the offense here in a minute, but yeah, defensively they took a step back, and of course there, it doesn't help when your offense is very inconsistent there. So and just to kind of to go over the game stats, statistics real quick, just the main ones real quick. Alex already touched on the 489 put up by Arkansas State, passing yards, 330 yards total between Bonner and Hatcher, rushing yards over 100, over 150 really, over 159. Arkansas State penalized 4 times for 58 yards, 26 first downs, and Arkansas State beat K-State in the third down, almost converting on basically over half their third down, 6 of 13, a glaring stat. And that's going to be a good transition to K-State offense. K-State offensively, 1 of 11. First downs, 21. K-State starting behind the chains, especially in the second half. 8 penalties for 85 yards. Whew! 91 yards on the ground, especially. Harry Trotter didn't do much on the ground. And we were looking forward to... I saw Tracadia Wright in a new number, number 9, Jacadia Wright. He didn't even get he didn't get touches. Had a helmet off and everything. Was dressed, didn't play. 91 yards. Glaring stat right there for Cordy Messingham's inconsistent offense. 283 yards passing in total, 374. And yesterday, and Skylar Thompson, the game yesterday basically signifies his whole K-State career. Missing opportunities for big plays. I mean, you would have thought early on, right off the bat, hitting Phillip Brooks right off the bat. Oh, yeah, we're gonna roll these guys. Very good throw by Skylar Thompson to Phillip Brooks to kick the scoring off. I thought, oh, man, here we go. Skylar Thompson, all right, he's about to show us a little something, right? A little bit we see something, and he takes 2 steps backwards, and from there, he just looks shaky, like we've always seen throughout his career. And there, boy, Alex, there are times that when he went back to drop back to throw, I saw at least 4 or 5 plays he could have hit down the field. I know one for a fact, Jabastian Taylor streaking near sideline right in front of me and Kate. He was open, second, nobody close to him, and I can't remember, I can't remember what he did at that time there, but he threw it down to a check down or whatever instead of throwing the ball down the field. Obviously, Malik knows, again, we talked about him throughout the summer, got her dinged up late in the game, had to go to the locker room, did not return, injury prone, so you don't have Knows late in the game. You happen to rely on Brooks and a couple other receivers. No Joshua Youngblood, no Joaquin Gill on that side of the ball. No Jarcadia Wright. No Tyler Burns wasn't hardly used at all in this game except for the goal line, which he didn't go anywhere. And Blake Lynch missing 2 kicks. At one point last year, Blake Lynch went on a run of 15 to 18 consecutive kicks, whatever, and Blake Lynch already missed 2. After 1 game. Inexcusable right there. So, but yeah, back to the top. Skylar Thompson, Cordy Messingham, and there are a lot of rumblings in the 11,000 plus in the stadium about the conservative play calling. I mean, how many times have we seen that last year? And it carried over in his first game, and Skylar Thompson looked out of sorts after that first series there. I don't know what it was, but he missed the mark, and I feel like, once again, I hate to beat a dead horse here, but I feel like we're seeing a cycle here with Skylar Thompson after a loss saying the same damn things, but yet on the field, it's just a different guy that's missing guys that he should have hit. I mean, yeah, Sebastian Taylor, that was one of them, and Sebastian Taylor, the one in the second half to him, I don't know what happened. Did he lose the ball in the sun or whatever? But that was a on-the-mark throw right there to him, and somehow he got behind the secondary, and I don't know, he just took another sidestep or something, avoid catching the football or whatever it is. So I don't know. There were some plays to be had against Arkansas State defense, Alex, yesterday, and Scott Thompson. Time is ticking on him, and another bad loss against Arkansas State.
Yeah, you know, first off, I want to give credit to Sebastian Taylor with 4 receptions, 98 yards. We didn't mention him much in our podcast prior.
Right, yep.
He deserves credit because, you know, he did come up big in some games last year, particularly Texas Tech late when Casey was coming off that West Virginia loss, I believe, the week before, and he made the big plays in that game to help them get that win and kind of right the ship. So credit to him when K-State was down Youngblood, and they were down Malik Knowles late, and they had no Joaquin Gill, and quite frankly, they were missing a ton of guys offensively, tons of guys, tons of playmakers. He stepped in, he played well. The same thing with Bradley Moore. We'll talk about him a little bit later, but he had 6 receptions, 56 yards, and a touchdown. Without him and Sebastian Taylor, I don't know where they would have been. I really don't, because they ended up breaking nearly half the offense. Getting to Skyler, oh man. So, Eddie, you look at the stat line and you think, well, he didn't have a bad game, you know, 17-29, 259 yards, 2 touchdowns, no interceptions. That's a nice game, you know, it's a nice statistical game for Skyler Thompson. But if you watch the game, it tells you, as you mentioned, the Skyler Thompson experience. you know, it's a summary. Saturday's game was a summary of Skyler Thompson's career in K-State. I really felt like that. Amazing pass, amazing throw to Phillip Brooks. K-State couldn't have started the game off any better, getting a 3-and-out. Blocking a punt, scoring on 2 plays, capped off by a beautiful pass from Skyler Thompson to Phillip Brooks, just on the money. I mean, it was right in the basket for him, and you know, you're thinking, okay, there we go. You know, that this is Skyler, you know, taking that next step. Look at him. But then, oh man, here come the missed plays, the missed opportunities. We talked in the podcast about sometimes he doesn't see. He'll be dancing around back there, and sometimes he just doesn't see an open guy. He misses him too often and just doesn't see him. That happened a couple times. Sometimes he sees him, and he throws it, and it's just not an accurate throw. We saw that a handful of times. Malik Knowles bailed him out on his one catch.
That was a good catch. That was a great catch.
Yeah, that crazy one-handed catch where he bailed Skyler out there. But that was his only catch of the game, which is a whole discussion. Why he only had one reception in the game. But
yeah, if he throws that, sorry, I got cut in here real quick. If he throws that on a straight line, Knowles walks in for a touchdown.
Yeah, that never will make me a touchdown right there if he throws that on line. So, instead of Malik Knowles having to make the SportsCenter top 10 to catch. you know, it's... Yeah, Eddie, for me, it's... You know, it's frustrating because you really want to see Skyler take that next step because you know that K-State has a ceiling with Skyler playing at this level. And you just know you can't... You just can't go above that. K-State can be a good team with Skyler, but they just, with him playing the way that he played yesterday, the way that he played last year, K-State can be a good team, but I don't think they can be a great team with Skyler playing like that. Skyler's got to take his game to the next level, and if he can't do it, there's a ceiling on this K-State offense. There's a ceiling on this K-State football team. And that is the truth. And some people may say, you're a Skyler hater. And I'm sorry if you feel that way, but I don't think that you can make a very good argument that K-State can accomplish the things that they want to accomplish in the Big 12 conference of all conferences with Skyler playing at the level he played last year and that he played yesterday. It was, you know... You have got to be able to be more efficient on offense than K-State was last year, and they were on Saturday. You have got to be more efficient than that, especially when your defense is struggling, and you got to pick them up, and you can't do it. Skyler made some nice throws. He absolutely did. I don't want to take that away from Skyler. Don't want to sit here and talk about it. He did make a handful of really nice throws.
Yeah, he did. Yeah.
He did. He made a handful of really nice plays. And Chris Klieman mentioned after the game that Skyler was dinged up and he was hurt. And they had a lot of plays that were dialed up that they couldn't run because of Skyler's injuries. And that suppressed a lot of what they could do based on what Coach Klieman said. So, you know, I get that. I get that this wasn't a perfect scenario. He didn't have Youngblood out there. He didn't have Joe Urban out there. He didn't have Jerkadia Wright out there. He didn't have Joaquin Gill out there. He was missing his starting center. You know, there were a lot of pieces that weren't there for him, and then he was fighting with injuries. So, you know, it's hard to get an accurate gauge for Skyler from that game. And I understand that 100%, and we can't judge it off of one game. That wouldn't be fair to Skyler. That wouldn't be fair to this K-State team. But based on that first game, it doesn't leave you thinking, oh, man, you know, Skyler's on the cusp of taking that next step. No, I don't feel that way at all after watching that game. I feel like it's the same Skyler. And after the game, you know, Skyler mentioned, you know, this motivates me more than ever to go out and to you know, right this wrong.
He said this before. He said this last year too. The same thing.
Yeah, that's all fantastic. And I love that passion from Skyler. I love it. I love how passionate Skyler is about winning. I love how passionate he is about K-State. I love the leader that Skyler is. I've always said that. But as you mentioned, I've heard that from him before and not seen him take the next level. So at some point, eventually, those words just kind of start to fall on deaf ears with me. And that's not a shot at Skyler. It's just that I don't particularly believe him when he says, you know, we're going to do this, we're going to do that. I promise you we're going to fix this. I promise you we're going to fix that. You know, it doesn't make me sit there and thinking, yeah, I go to the press. Skyler says it, then I believe it. No, not necessarily. And that's, once again, that's not a slight of Skyler at all. I know that might sound like a slight of Skyler. It really isn't. Because I love the leader that Skyler is, and there's no doubt that these guys get behind Skyler. But, you know, that game I don't particularly buy that. Their next game's against Oklahoma. I don't know. Yeah, you can have 2 weeks to prepare for them, but, I mean, I don't have a ton of optimism that Skyler's going to be able to do much better against them than he did Arkansas State. So, especially with the game they did, throwing a shutout on Missouri State. Granted, it is Missouri State. Let's.
Yeah, it is Missouri State. It is Missouri State, folks.
No Arkansas State, okay? Missouri State. No offense to Missouri State, but they suck. I'm just going to call it what it is. I know Missouri State. I know exactly who they are. They're not a good. They're not a good football team. So, you can't put a lot of weight to that, but either way, it left me Skyler's performance a lot to be desired. It really left me with a lot to be desired. And, I didn't particularly care to hear the excuses from Coach Klieman. You know, I felt like he had a lot more excuses than I expected. I didn't think he'd come in and you know, talk about, well, we had injuries here, you know, well, we had injuries there, well, we have this here, well, we have this there. I don't know. For some reason, I thought he'd come in more and own it more. It kind of surprised me that he didn't own the loss and say, you know, inexcusable. Can't let this happen. Got to be better. We didn't have him prepared to play. And they weren't prepared to play. And we need to get better these next 2 weeks. I expected more of that type of tone from him, and I got, you know, it was more of a, well, you know, it was a real weird off season, and, you know, well, when you're down to your third string safety and your third string center, blah, blah, blah. I just didn't want to hear that, Eddie. I just really didn't want to hear that from him. And I know I'm kind of skewing off the Skyler thing for a minute, but But what made me think about it is because Skyler, he started saying that about Skyler. You know, Skyler had injuries here. Well, you know, we had to suppress the playbook, and that really threw things off. Well, you know, if that's throwing things off so much, Eddie, then put Will Howard in the game and keep him in the game. I mean, if it's really affecting your offense as much as he made it sound like, and he's talking about how much he loves Will Howard. Well, hell, if Skyler's taking half of the offense, if you can't run half the offense because of his injury, then put Will Howard in the game and see what you got.
Mm-hmm. You know? Yeah.
They put him briefly, but if you're going to make that excuse, then that's going to be my thought. Well, why didn't you put Will Howard in? Why didn't you see what you had with him? Yes, you put him in for a couple plays, but, I mean, if he was really affecting your offensive play calling that much because of his injury, which Chris Kleiman says is not a serious injury, but if it's still affecting your play calling that much, and it's affecting Skyler's play that much, then why was he out there? I mean, why was he out there? You know, so Skyler, we'll see what he does the next game, but it left a lot to be desired.
You're listening to the Purple Project Podcast.
Eddie Gritter III, Alex Aiden, the Purple Project Podcast rolls on. Post-game report, K-State dropping the home opener / season opener of this weird 2020 season. Arkansas State comes to Manhattan and pulls off the stunner 35-31. Yeah, Alex, you mentioned that I want to touch on the Will Howard thing also. And me and Kate talked about that yesterday. I didn't know the extent. I didn't know Skyler was hurt at that time. Coming to find out, coming home and listening to the post game pressers yesterday, I didn't know that until then. But yeah, I mean, if he was holding up play calling, yeah, Will Howard, they turned him loose to throw the football. He made a completion down the field there, and yeah, before Scott Thompson got back in the game and the offense stalled out. But yeah, Will Howard there made a completion, 24-yard completion there, and his only throw. We saw him warm up multiple times on the sideline. So yeah, I mean, that also got me wondering yesterday. I mean, and Kate made a good analogy yesterday in saying, you know, if Skyler continues to play like this, you know, I mean, granted, yes, Skyler, I mean, Chris Kleiman, that's Chris Kleiman's guy. He said it ever since he's gotten here. Skyler Thompson's my guy. This is my quarterback. Skyler Thompson's my quarterback, 100%. But hey, I mean, yeah, again, one game into this weird year, right? If he continues this trend word of inconsistent play and hindering the ceiling, what you talked about for K-State, I mean, the ceiling for K-State was 7-3, and a lot of other people thought it would be 7-3, right? You already lost the game, and the lower ceiling, 5-5. So, I mean,
well, and I don't mean to cut you off, but just quickly, the thing that I, with Will Howard and Skyler Thompson is Chris Kleiman, he said, he said it after the Arkansas State game. He said, you know, yeah, really after Will Howard did here, you know, he did this, he did that, he took a big hit, but he came back and he had the 24-yard completion there to Jack Stineen, and you know, I really liked that, you know, a young guy. We already wanted to see him anyway out there, so, you know, we figured, you know, why not? But he's like, but Skyler's our guy, you know, don't get me wrong, Skyler's 100% our guy. And I'm sitting there listening to the press conference, and I'm like, I believe you when you say Skyler's our guy. I do believe him. I believe he thinks that. But at the same time, he is intrigued. There is no doubt in my mind he is intrigued with Will Howard. With how often he brings him up. He brings him up nearly every single press conference, Will Howard. His name comes up almost every single time. And he's intrigued. He is intrigued with what he's got there. And I do believe he's committed to Skyler. But I believe he is really curious about what he's got behind Skyler. And while he says he's committed to Skyler, if Skyler continues to play inconsistently and K-State's losing football games, Chris Kleiman doesn't like to lose. He's not a loser. He's a winner. Look at his resume. He wins football games. And he will do what he needs to do to win football games. So if they can't right the ship, I believe that that is absolutely in the cards for him to make a change. And this is way too early. I mean, this is way too early for us to even have this conversation. We need to see what Skyler does against Oklahoma. We need to see what he does against Texas Tech. We need to see these conversations. So I will preface it with, this conversation is way too early. K-State should not go play Will Howard against Oklahoma. Hell no, that should not
happen. That should not happen.
It's not going to happen. They should ride it out with Skyler, because Skyler is one of their leaders, and we should all hope that Skyler kind of rights the ship and he leads K-State to a 7-1 season. I mean, that's what we should hope for. but look, I'm just saying, he is intrigued with what he's got in Will Howard. He wanted to see him play. He mentions him nearly every time, every press conference. He clearly was dabbling with the idea of putting him in this game, more than just the couple plays that he was in there. As you mentioned, he was warming up multiple times throughout the game. And so, you know, I think Chris Klieman, I think in the back of his mind, he wonders, could Will Howard take us? I mean, could he take us to that next step? I mean, could he be that jolt of that we need? It's just going to be interesting to see how that plays out, Eddie. And like I said, hopefully there's not a QB controversy. You know, I hope that Skyler is able to take it to another level in case they could win football games with him, because that's the best case scenario. You don't want to start a freshman quarterback in this type of climate. But despite everything Coach Klieman says, I think he's intrigued by Will. I just do. That's my personal opinion.
And yeah, and that's the last thing before I finish my original thought. That's the last thing that Skyler Thompson needs again is another quarterback situation like he and Alex Dalton in the 2.0 Bill Snyder. So to relate to the Will Howard thing, yeah, Kate told me yesterday that Clemson, you know, when Kelly Bryant was on that team and starting that team, the year that Trevor Lawrence took over that team, Kelly Bryant stuck up the shell. And what did Dabo do? He put in Trevor Lawrence, and then Trevor just ran away with it. And that caused Kelly Bryant to transfer in. Look where Clemson is, obviously. So, Will Howard, and that's an interesting sequence there, Alex, that you bring up there. Will Howard and Chris Klieman there, I mean, on the back of his mind, he sort of wants to put him in there, but he can't because, yeah, he got a senior quarterback right there, Skyler Thompson. You ride with him, and he beat Oklahoma last year at home. But this time, in 2 weeks, it's going to be a whole different story. Got to go there and play Oklahoma. And, yeah, we're going to have to see, and you're right, we're going to have to see what he does. Can he bounce back? And you're playing with fire here. And you don't play well, you lose, and you don't play. You play like this. You're 0-2, and you're already behind the 8-ball in conference play. Coming back here to Tech, I know it's too far. I hate to do that. I hate to look that far. Yep. But, yeah, we're going to have to wait and see. Can Skyler rebound once again after another game that you should have won? How many times have we said it on the Purple Project podcast? Win the games that you're supposed to win. K-State did not do that. So, but anyways, all right, so Skyler Thompson, you mentioned the line on him, 259, he did throw nice touchdown passes, referred to Brooks and Bradley Moore, who was good yesterday. Leading rusher turned out to be Harry Trotter, 50 yards on 16 carries, even though it felt like he didn't do much. Deuce Vaughn, and we'll talk about him here in a little bit, I'm sure. 12 carries, 47 yards, and man, the dude's quick. And Bradley Moore, 6 catches, 54 yards. Sebastian Taylor, you mentioned him, Alex, 4 catches, 98 yards. All right, so I want to get to this right now. So, all right, grades. So, offensively, we'll start there. And Alex, I'm going to start. I'm interested to see how you give the offense. What offensive grade did you give Courtney Messingham and Skyler Thompson after Oklahoma State? Not Oklahoma State, Arkansas State.
Mm. I kind of went back and forth with the grades for this game. I ended up settling on a solid C with the offense, and the reason I gave them a C, I was tempted to dip them down into a D. There's obviously no way I was going to pull them up to a B with the way they played. I was tempted to give them a D, but I was like, you know what? No, I'll give them a C for the fact that they were missing a lot of guys, you know, and like, I was just dogging on Chris Kleiman for making those excuses, because quite frankly, I didn't want to hear him. I still don't want to hear him. But it is a factor. I mean, you can't deny the you don't have, you know, Malik Doles gets injured. You know, Joshua Young blows not out there. Jacoby Wright's not out there. Joe Irvin's not out there. You're missing pieces of your offensive line. Skylar Thompson's playing hurt. You know, you're missing a lot of pieces. So I think that's the first thing you got to factor in. Second thing you got to factor in is just the fact that it's the first game. And we knew the offense wasn't going to look good. We said that this probably wasn't going to be a pretty game. We said it last week. You know, but just that hopefully KK would find a way to get the win. So, you know, factoring those things in made me think, you know, that's a little harsh. But I couldn't give them anything in the B range. Couldn't even give them a C+, just because, you know, I saw a really interesting stat from Cole Maiden. I don't know if I am saying his name correctly, but man, that I probably still said it wrong, because I'm just talking about other things. But
anyway, I think that's right, Cole Manbet. Yeah, that's right.
Well, yeah, so you know what I'm talking about. He tweeted out a really interesting stat that out of the a couple stats about K-State's run game. The first was when K-State ran off tackle with the running backs, they went 12 carries, 73 yards, 6 yards rush. That's great. That's what exactly what we went here. They had 17 carries in between the tackles for 15 yards, with an average of 0.9 per rush, and the longest run inside the tackles was 5 yards. That's not good. That's not good, Eddie. I don't care what you say, that's not good. I mean, it's hard for me to give you a good grade if you have 17 carries for 15 yards inside your tackles. That's not a good thing. And then, out of the 17 carries in the tackles, between the tackles, 9 went for 0 yards or a loss. 9 of the 17 went for 0 yards or a loss. That's a problem, Eddie. That I don't care what you say. That's a problem, and that led obviously to K-State having, I think it was what, 13 third down plays that they had, and the average distance was 10 yards on their third downs. That's not acceptable. That's not acceptable. I just don't know what else to say. You've got to run the ball better than that. So it's great that K-State was able to run, you know, to the off the tackles well, but boy, when you are that ineffective inside the tackles, I'm not going to give you a good offensive grade. And then you look at obviously the Skylar consistencies that we touched on. It's hard for me to give a good grade there. And then Skylar wasn't able to get the run game going because of his injuries, primarily, based on what Coach Kleiman said. I think he had 7 carries for 7 yards. That's obviously not going to get it done for him. Malik Knowles, long catch, 27 yards. That's obviously not going to get it done either. So, you know, you factor that stuff in. You look at the offensive line, who we haven't talked about them yet, but they did not play well. They did not give me any confidence that they were anywhere near ready to be the offensive line that we're going to need them to be this year. So the offensive line was bad. The running game between the tackles was bad. Perry Trotter, he did have close to 50 yards, but he was not very good either. And you throw all that in, they got to be better, so I gave him a C.
Purple Project.
Yeah, so I give, yeah, my grade for the offense C- there. Yeah, just things you talked about, it was that factor. But I also go, yeah, run the ball. And like I've been saying all podcasts long tonight, yeah, Harry Trotter didn't do much at all. Yeah, he had a touchdown on the ground late in this game to pull the Cats closer. Deuce Vaughn looked good at times too, and I thought they should have put him out there a little more. But you know, they talked about giving Harry Trotter the majority of the carries all off season long. So in between him and Tyler Burns, I mean, Tyler Burns only got 1 carry for no yards. Like I talked about earlier tonight on his podcast. So you thought that, you know, last year, you know, the carries were split between Gilbert and Jordan Brown. We did not see it here. I mean, yeah, Deuce Vaughn got touches, which we talked about that throughout the summer and up till right now. But we did not see Tyler Burns that much. So I don't know. You know, one carry, I mean, we wish we would have seen a little bit more. Maybe get trust him a little bit. I mean, he's a senior also. I mean, so there's that. Scott Thompson missing guys. Already touched on that. So, yeah, I mean, Malik Knowles being injury prone and dropping the ball they should have caught late down the field. I mean, some of it was Skyler's fault. Others were receivers' fault.
Yeah.
Sebastian Taylor had a chance to get a touchdown there and kind of sidestepped the ball. Malik Knowles had a catch late in the game and just couldn't hang on to it and ended up leaving the game and not coming back. So Malik Knowles having trouble staying on the field. How many times have we seen it? So, I mean, Jackson Eame made a catch. Sammy Wheeler, the other tight end, made some noise a little bit. Nick Lenners did not have a catch on the stat sheet. I mean, we saw him out there. So, yeah, C minus. I mean, the inconsistent play continues for this offense. You would have thought, again, kind of relating back to the whole Skylar Thompson thing that you mentioned, Alex, already. Hey, again, I mean, you thought you'd start seeing that next step, but Courtney Messingham, I mean, what is he calling? I mean, I wanted to say something earlier. Maybe I'll have to go back and find it later. But, yeah, so C-minus on my end. And I'm going to start off the defensive side of the ball here. So, Wayne Jones, a nasty hit. Thank goodness he's okay. Suffered a concussion like Double A talked about earlier on the night on his Purple Project podcast. He actually was tied for tackles with Justin Hughes with 6. Elijah Sullivan had 5. And then the third stringer, Ryan Hennington, who got burned on one of the touchdowns. I mean, yes, he played admirable, whatever you want to call it. But, yeah, some of those, he was not in the right position. But 5 tackles in the defense. Yeah, there's no way around it. This one, Alex, I got them as a D. And they barely passed. I almost gave him an F. Seriously. But D, they got a lot of work to do. This is a huge step back. As we've discussed tonight, Joe Klannenman, all the praise about Klannenman, you know, in his offseason, you know, he's the guy to replace Scotty Hazleton and this and that. We talked about it a little bit early on this summer on the Purple Project podcast. And I think, I don't know, this defense yesterday that I watched took me a few years back. I mean, they were aggressive at times, but they weren't aggressive like Hazleton last year. So it took me a few years back watching. I felt I was watching the Tom Hayes defense.
I was about to say, I felt like I was
seriously
watching Tom Hayes all over again.
Yeah, seriously. I mean, they're just giving Arkansas State all kinds of room, like you discussed. Adams going off. And you have the second-string quarterback lead the game-winning drive. That's got to hurt. That's got to hurt your pride, man. So the defense, they got a lot of work to do between now and the 26th against OU on Fox. EG3's grade, a D. What you got?
Man, Eddie, I mean, you read my mind. So I was sitting there watching this thinking, oh, my gosh, is Tom Hayes back or something? Like, what is going on? This feels like Tom Hayes all over again. Flashback. Look, Tom Hayes had some good defenses. I'm not hating on Tom Hayes. I was never a fan, personally. defensive schemes. I think there's a handful of K-State fans that probably feel the same way. He had good defense. He did. I'm not saying he didn't, but holy smokes, that was frustrating. I couldn't give them an F either, even though they were pretty much a failure. But I couldn't give them an F. I gave them a D as well. It was one of those things where, with the offense, at least they mustered some stuff together, Eddie. I mean, at least they put up 31 points. At least, you know, you had the bright spots of Deuce Vaughn. At least you had the bright spots of Sebastian Taylor making some plays. At least you had Briley Moore having a real nice game. I mean, the offense at least had some things that could give me enough oomph to give them a C. Defensively, oh man, there wasn't much for me to out there for me to give them a grade that was better than D. I mean, the best play that was non-offensive, that was a non-offensive play, was a blocked punt.
Yeah.
On defense, so I'm sorry. I mean, on fantasy, that would be considered defense because you combine them together. It's defense and special teams, but not in our discussion, it isn't. So, you know, I'll give them a D. I thought Justin Hughes actually did a nice job in his first game back. You know, he had six tackles, he had five solos, he had a really nice pass deflection, where he was playing in a position that was almost more like a safety role than a linebacker role. He made a nice play on a ball back there, and then I also thought that Wayne Jones had a nice game prior to his injury as well, and honestly, looking at the linebacking core, didn't really have an issue with the linebacking core. I thought Elias Sullivan had a nice job as well, but secondary, woof, man, they got picked apart, and not going to give A.J. Parker too much grief, even though he got beat a lot. He didn't have a lot of help. He was undersized. That's just not a fair fight. It's like bringing a knife to a gunfight. It's not fair. It's not a fair matchup, Eddie. So you know I'm not going to give AJ Parker too much grief there. And he did have three pass deflections as well. So I mean he did make some plays at corner, but. But they got picked apart in the secondary. The defensive line was physical at times during the game, but as I mentioned earlier in the podcast, they still ran the ball, and that's ultimately what matters, is were they able to move the football, and they still were. You know, great, happy that the defensive line was physical and made some plays, but they still weren't at the level that they needed to be. Ultimately, I'm sitting here thinking, you know, I'm not going to judge Klingerman off one game. That's not fair to Klingerman, obviously. And especially given the offseason that we had, and Klingerman probably, it's going to take him a little while to, you know, get his system into effect. And the best example that I can use, once again, is going to be a cheap example because that's just the best comparison. But Steve Spagnuolo came in and, as the defense coordinator for the Chiefs last year, and look, the Chiefs defense struggled the first 8-10 games because they were integrating his new system, and you know they really figured it out about halfway through the season, a little more than halfway through the season, and they clicked and they got going, and they really caught fire there in the second half of the season. So those things take time, and I understand that, and the defense will get better probably as time goes under Klingerman, but boy, you want to talk about a disheartening opener. I'm with you, Eddie. I thought that his defense was going to come out. I thought he was going to do a lot of the same things that Scotty Hazleton did, and I felt like he was just a way less aggressive. Like the aggression, he was just way less aggressive. I felt like there were less blitzes. Felt like there was less pressure. It was a lot more sitting back. It felt like to me like those on Hayes defenses, and you know that's just not going to get it done, especially in Big 12 play. So give a D.
Yeah, so, and also before I touch special teams real quick here, three sacks of the K-State defense yesterday. Eli Huggins, the other defensive tackle, had a sack. Drew Wiley, like I mentioned a little bit ago, had a sack. And White Hubert gets his first of 2020. He got a sack in there as well. Three sacks of his K-State defense there. And, yeah, you mentioned Will Jones. Will Jones, man, he was all on it in the first half there. And it's actually going to lead into my special teams here. Had an interception in that first half and then blocked a punt. And from where we were sitting at, it looked like the punter didn't even have a chance to get that ball off there. So Will Jones, he was all over the place. We've heard his name a lot in the summer. So Will Jones showing out early on there. So that's kind of one of the bright spots for K-State, if there was any. So special teams there. And it wasn't for that, they would have failed. But D minus on my card for the special teams. Why? And for the main reason, leading points on the field. Reliable Blake Lynch, a.k.a. Mighty Mouse, missing two kicks there. And that's 6 points right there. So you hit those, obviously. I mean, obviously we don't know the outcome, but you could go a long ways of winning this ball game. Can't leave points on the football field. There was a lot of reliable kicker. And the punting, we saw two punters. Zintner, who started the punting yesterday, and don't have the name of the other guy right at this point. Maybe Alex, you'll pull it up. But he also punted yesterday also. So, I mean, I don't know. They're still trying out for punter or whatnot. I know they're having a tough replacement, trying to replace Inkdal last year. But they had two punters yesterday. And I know we talked about one of them on last week's podcast. That was Zintner, the guy I talked about last week. He started the punt. And then the other guy came in the punt. So, sorry, I don't know. I don't have his name on top of him. Okay, yep, there we go. So, he punted yesterday as well. So, but yeah, mainly, I mean, they didn't give up any big ones there. But, well, except for the last kickoff return that really put Arkansas State in that position to make that last drive there to win the game there with Adams making that 17-yard catch there. So, yeah, D minus there. And this is, again, I mean, special teams, this is K-State staple over the years. And for a K-State fan here in Manhattan or elsewhere knows that K-State makes their hay on special teams and did not really see that at all. Obviously, Arkansas State, they're kicking away from Knowles and Phillip Brooks all day yesterday. There and then at a time there, Knowles bobbled a kickoff return. So, yeah, I mean, uncharacteristic in that area, and they barely got a passing grade. Barely. Ugly all around, really. D-. What you got?
Yeah, hard to fault that. Hard to fault that, if I can speak properly. I got a D for special teams, and you know, I really thought early on that it would be an A. I really did when KJ blocked the punt early on, and they I was like, okay, here we go. You know, it's K-State special teams. You know, that's what they do. But then you got to the point where, you know, well let's go a step further. It was the play. It was a fourth down, and they were lined up to punt, Arkansas State, and everyone in the United States of America.
Oh, baby! Oh.
That was not going to be a punt. I was listening on the radio at that time, Eddie, when they were explaining it. I said, well, they're going to throw it to Adams. Of course. Of course that's what they're going to do. Like, duh. And they're like, and Wyatt Thompson's like, you know, K-State's not going for him. And they're lined up on, you know, they still got the safe defense out. But then, you know, they're like, and the punter throws it to Adams first down. And I'm just like, that's ridiculous. And then you watch it on TV and it's even more ridiculous because it should never be that easy for a punter to complete a pass to a receiver. It should never be that easy. You just look like a quarterback just dropping back and firing it in there. It's just ridiculous. So that should never happen. And then, I can't remember what Chris Kleiman said about that particular play. He said that they actually thought they had it snuffed out, but they just weren't able to execute it or something like that. I don't know exactly what it had. Once again, I didn't love his answer for that one either. I didn't love his answer for a lot of the stuff. That really, I keep harping back on. I'm just so surprised with so many of his answers. Usually Chris Kleiman's so, like, you know, really owns it. It was another thing they didn't really own, I felt like. But anyway, that's a moot point. Still love Chris Kleiman. But getting back to special teams, that was inexcusable. And then you throw on the kicks. You know, if Blake Lynch hits those two kicks, K-State wins this game, and we're not even having this discussion. You know, because then they would have had 37 points, and Arkansas State wouldn't have. They would have been in this position where they were down 37-28. So they would have had to go score, get an onside there, and then get it and try to drive down a score again. So, would have been a moot point if Blake Lynch even made his kicks. And the kicks that he missed were makeable field goals. I mean, they weren't gimmies. They were
right, yeah.
They were in the 40-some yard range, but any of us who have watched Blake Lynch kick knows that he should have. Those two kicks, he makes those kicks last year. So the kicker that we know Blake Lynch to be, makes those kicks. So, I mean, you just got to make them. It's just that simple. When you're a kicker of his caliber and we hold him to the standard that we hold him to, you got to make those kicks. And they can ultimately cost you a game, which is what happened here. And then just the final thing to put a bow on it. I know they only got out to the 35-40-yard line, but K-State allowing a big return there. Once they got up 31-28, that really gave Arkansas State good field position and set up them to get the game-winning score. If K-State could have found a way to pin them inside the 20 there, even a touchback, so they started at the 25 instead of like the 37, 38, whatever it was that they started at, that would have even been fine. But the fact that K-State let them get a good return there, get into good field position, so they were already feeling good before they go out on that drive where you think K-State has some momentum. I mean, at least make them go a longer field. And so that was kind of frustrating not to see that. So you factor all that in, and I got to give them a D.
Yeah, I actually want to go real fast to go back to that play, fourth down play, late in the game. I think that was it. That was incomplete. He didn't complete that because that pass was from where I was sitting at. Yeah, everybody knew it was a fake. I even yelled it. A few others yelled it out. It was gonna be a fake. Watch the fake. And behold, they fake it on fourth down. Try to get it out to receiver, and really that pass from where we're sitting, it was a tough angle from where we're sitting at, but it looked like that throw was not even near him. It overshot him, and the penalty was absolutely brutal. Now, I mean, you're watching on TV, so you probably had a better angle than I had, because apparently there was holding on that.
You're right, Andy. You are 100% correct. That was exactly how that play went. I misspoke. You were absolutely correct. He heated up and K-State held. And for some reason I was thinking in my mind that they did complete that. No. They didn't
complete that. They did not complete that, no. Well, wasn't even, yeah.
But point being, my gosh, it's the point of that stands, though, is that, and it was my thought at the moment was, it shouldn't be that easy. The punter shouldn't just be able to just step back and just chuck the ball deep, and you've got to hold, to prevent that from prevent that play. I mean, it's just undisciplined football. That's just what all it is. And I think that was ultimately what I was getting at. You're right. I didn't speak on that because that wasn't complete. It was a hold, right call as well on that. But there had to be another game where I saw somebody catch a punt, Eddie, because that's for some reason that's sticking in my brain. I don't know why. But it was just undisciplined. And honestly, K-State was undisciplined all throughout. They had like eight penalties and
eight penalties. Yep,
80 some yards. It's just ridiculous. K-State should never not have that many penalties and just sloppy all around. But it was just a sloppy play. It's just a sloppy play, and it just shouldn't happen.
Yeah. So, it's just, undisciplined football, right on the money, yep. Yeah. Logan Bonner here to wrap up the line here for Arkansas State before we cap the podcast with trending up, trending down for K-State. Logan Bonner threw for just over 200 yards, 204 yards, two touchdowns. 17 of 28 there. Lane Hatcher with the game-winning drive. 6 of 8. 61 yards. He threw two touchdown passes. So, yeah, that's a bad look for K-State there. We already touched Jonathan Adams' line. At the beginning of this podcast, Jamal Jones on the ground for Arkansas State. 97 yards on 16 touches. Ligon Paré. Hope I'm saying that right. But anyways, 4 carries for 65 yards. There for the Red Wolves coming into Manhattan and getting one on Chris Kleiman and the Underman Wildcats 35-31 right down the wire, which leads into trending up and trending down here as we wind down this episode of the Purple Project Podcast. Alex Aiden, San Diego, Eddie Greer right here in Manhattan, Kansas. All right, so I'll start with you, Alex, first. After game one, I know it's only one game, but who's starting to trend up after one game?
Gotta give a shout out to my to my man Keaton Valentine, who I mentioned multiple times in this show. He bugged me off offseason saying, this Deuce Vaughn is for real. Trust me, this guy is for real. I know you keep talking about your KD, right? Deuce is stud too. But Deuce Vaughn, keep an eye out for him. I am telling you, I'm not saying he's Darren Sproles. I am not saying that. But he has got Darren Sproles' qualities in his game. And he could be a special back. And then all of a sudden you start hearing players like Justin Hughes who are giving praise to him about this dude's special. This dude's got something. And you're like, okay, interesting. And then he comes out and, 12 carries, 47 yards. It felt like more, honestly, even watching it on TV. A touchdown. The dude is lightning quick.
And
Gus Johnson's clearly a fan of him. For anybody who watched the broadcast, he was a fan of the Deuce Vaughn show and said that Deuce Vaughn was going to be leading to he and Joe Klatt calling many more games in the future from Bill Snyder Family Stadium. So I hope it does lead to more them calling more games.
Well, they're playing. Hey, they got that OU. Look, I called. Two weeks.
He was saying we're going to be calling more games here in Manhattan in future seasons with this guy here. And I was saying K-State's going to be winning football games with Deuce Vaughn as their back. I hope he's right. But no, Deuce Vaughn clearly was the best player, in my opinion, on the K-State offense. And you mentioned that he didn't get a ton of touches. He had 12 touches. And when you look at 12 touches, 47 yards, it's only 3.9 carry, but anybody who watched that game knew that his impact on the game was much more substantial than the stat line shows. He really kind of loosened the defense up and made them have to respect his speed and made some really nice plays. He was really elusive, really crafty, and a player that K-State's clearly going to need to make a bigger part of their game plan moving forward, especially if, they're going to be with Patrick KD Ryan, Joe Irvin, that whole crew, because Harry Trotter, against Oklahoma defense in a couple weeks is not something that I'm terribly confident about. I think you need to. Look, you can't. Deuce Vaughn's not built to be, a workhorse. He's way too small. You don't want to get him dinged up. You'd rather him be able to survive the duration of a season. But still, you find ways to get the ball in his hands in open space. If you can do that, K-State can get some big plays. And so I think that needs to be a focus. But clearly, the dude's legit. Clearly, the dude's for real. And I think that he is going to be a big part of K-State's offense in games to come this year.
Yeah, and quickly he's quickly becoming my favorite player in Kate's too, for that matter. I mean, he's definitely quick. I tell you that. Well, he made a huge he's making a big impact to this point. So we're looking forward definitely to seeing what happens next. And how this offense uses Deuce here, especially against OU in 2 weeks. So I know it's only one game, but yeah, he looked pretty damn good. For me, I'm going to go with the other guy that who transferred in here, who made some big plays, got his first touchdown as a cat, Briley Moore. He made a big fourth down catch there to keep a drive alive. Of course, caught a beautiful touchdown pass from Skyler. There, so Briley Moore tied in, and we talked about it multiple times for the last several weeks on the Purple Project podcast, how they're going to use the tight ends. I mean, we saw Nick Leonard, we saw Sammy Wheeler, who made a catch. I referenced that already tonight. Briley Moore, 6 catches. Sammy only won. That's 7 between the 3 of them, and Nick didn't get any. And he was either second or first all big preseason, all big 12. So Briley Moore, I mean, we don't know the status of Knowles. Obviously, we're in a bye week, and that's huge for multiple reasons for K-State. They need to get right on all faces of the game. But yeah, Briley Moore, I think as the season goes along, I think he's going to be a huge factor, other than Deuce Vaughn, to make a huge impact on that K-State offense. So I was very encouraged by Briley's impact yesterday.
Absolutely. He had a phenomenal game. mentioned at the top of the podcast, but he played a huge role for this K-State team. You know, without him and without Sebastian Taylor, as I mentioned at the top, really don't know where K-State would have been without those two. You know, they played such a big role, and Bradley Moore, you know, he made a couple big catches in a couple third down scenarios. Obviously, had a really nice play there in the end zone, and kind of validated what we were hoping he could be in that first game. So, kind of like I mentioned with Deuce Vaughn, you kind of think of, okay, how can we integrate him even more into this game plan against Oklahoma than we, assuming that we may be missing a handful of guys still.
Yeah. Yeah, sorry about that. So I was looking at something there. But yeah, trending up, and I'm going to start the last thing on here, trending down. And I got two players on this one. So the first one, obviously, you probably know who this one is, Skylar Thompson, which we have talked about a gazillion times on this podcast, and we'll still talk about him throughout the season. It's only one game. But yeah, we saw some highlights and some not-so-good plays from Skylar Thompson there. And if K-State is going to be over 500 at the end of the year, Skylar Thompson needs to, like you said and said multiple times on this podcast, he needs to take that next step and to be that guy. And you gotta win games like this. I mean, we said it way before the season started. I mean, we made our scheduled prediction. You have to win the games you're supposed to win. And we're gonna continue to say that. Sorry, that's the way it is. But yeah, Arkansas State, yeah, they're a good team. They won 8 games last year. They compete. They're right up there in the Sun Belt Conference. But at the same time, you're K-State. You're supposed to win these games. I mean, not saying it's going. We didn't say it was going to be easy last week. We did not say that. It was going to be a tough game. I think our predictions were wrong anyway. Our score predictions, by the way, were wrong. Obviously, were wrong. Unfortunately, but yeah, Skylar Thompson. You know, again, the up and down roller coaster ride continues. And yesterday was the perfect example of that. So I'm not going to go dive into too much of that. We already know that Skylar Thompson trending down. The other guy on defense, A.J. Parker. Man, he looked like the guy was a freshman, a sophomore in the 2.0 Tom Hayes defense, giving up big plays. And to me, I know he's coming off injury. Before he got injured last year, he looked good. Obviously, that huge game-changing interception against OU last year. But he didn't look the same yesterday. I don't know why, if he's still not fully recovered or not trying to make excuses for him, but you just can't play like that. Not against an NFL caliber receiver and Jonathan Adams like that. No excuse for that. And there were multiple times that he fell on his helmet. They're tripping up on his own shoes, whatnot. He just wasn't ready to play at all. So Skylar Thompson, A.J. Parker, trending down for me. What you got?
Yeah, you know, I think that's really fair. With A.J. Parker, as I mentioned, kind of felt like it wasn't, he wasn't put in my opinion, in great positions in the game. So I'm willing to kind of give him a pass. I'm with you. He didn't look like the same player as he did last year. So hopefully that changes in games coming forward. But my biggest takeaway was that, you know what, if they actually put him in a better position, I think that possibly can be alleviated. Skylar Thompson obviously was one that I considered as well, but I didn't go with him just because there is one position. I'm going with a position group rather than one particular person, because I've mentioned multiple times in this podcast that it's not just one player. It can be, but usually this unit as a whole that is making the difference, because this unit has to work in unison. And that is the offensive line.
I had a feeling you're going to go there. Yep.
Yeah, look, Skylar, I probably would have gone with Skylar. I would have.
I did that for you. I did that for you.
Yeah, well, a couple things with Skylar. The first is, I just want to see more. You know, I don't know if I'm going to say it's trending down. You know, I don't know if I say that's a correct assessment with him being hurt and not having weapons. You know, I just say, let's just see more before I take that type of step with him. Still probably would have taken that step if the offensive line played better, and then he still didn't deliver. But boy, the offensive line was bad, Eddie. Oof, they were not good. They were not good at all. And yes, the center got injured. That played a big role in it. I get it. I understand. But K-State's not going to win a lot of football games if the offensive line played like that. And we knew that was going to be the big question mark coming in. We knew starting five new guys was going to be interesting, at least, and that it was going to take time. And this is, it wasn't going to happen overnight. And this is really where it hurts not having three non-con games, Eddie, because, you know, if K-State has North Dakota, and then they have Buffalo after that, and they have Vanderbilt after that, you know, more time to get them, you know, get them going and get them comfortable. By the way, if K-State played North Dakota or Buffalo, they would have won that game because neither one of those teams is good as Arkansas.
Yeah.
That was kind of a tough luck situation that they had to kind of just get one non-con game and then play Arkansas State. That's the team that they end up playing. But either way, that's beside the point. The offensive line, usually in that non-con, you have a little more time to get them warmed up. But, man, you know, they have that bad of a game, then, oh, no problem. But you just got to go at OU. Your next game, your fresh five that played awful against Arkansas State, so no pressure. So I'm not holding my breath that they're going to be better against Oklahoma, even if they have 2 weeks, just because number one, it's Oklahoma. That's not a great matchup for them already. Number two, it's going to take multiple games, Eddie. It's going to take multiple games for them to get it down and get in a groove. And look, when K-State got rolling on Saturday for listeners, when K-State got rolling on Saturday, it was when they were running plays away from the offensive line. It was when they were running quick screens out to the boundaries, or they were running, executing running plays out to the side, or Skyler's getting rid of the ball quick. Anything that they could do to take the offensive line out of the game is when they played their best. And then when they had to rely on the offensive line, whether it was for pass protection because it was a 3-4-5-step drop for Skyler, or it was a run in between the tackles, or whatever it might have been, that's when K-State was at their worst because the offensive line couldn't get locked. Skyler had guys running at him that weren't even accounted for on the offensive line multiple times throughout the game, which is a quarterback's worst nightmare. And that's just not acceptable. So, it's just not acceptable, period. So, they need to be better, and if they're not better, I can tell you right now, K-State is not going to win a lot of football games.
No, they're not. 91 yards total on the ground against Arkansas State, or going for a rain ground reason won't get it done. So, out of my last thoughts here, obviously here, Oklahoma, 2 weeks, September 26th, on the road is K-State's next opponent, and K-State 0-1 there, and it's going to be a tough game, and we'll definitely talk about more about it on the next podcast. We'll talk plenty about Oklahoma in the next podcast. So that is the K-State's next opponent after falling a heartbreaker, a stunner, to Arkansas State 35-31 in the season opener. COVID 2020, weird year where, you know, anything can happen with this pandemic and you're missing guys. Me and you matches already for the last couple weeks. So this is going to be week to week basis. And final words here, we'll just see what happens here. But yeah, K-State overall, yeah, they got some work to do before the 26th. So Alex, any final thoughts here before we sign off?
Yeah, just a couple. The first is, you know, despite all the negatives and all the frustrating crap that we had to deal with on Saturday with K-State, it was great to be able to see football again. And it was something that Coach Bonnie did mention, Justin Hughes mentioned it in his postgame, and a couple other players. And I do want to reiterate, kudos to K-State, kudos to Gene Taylor, kudos to the athletic department, kudos to the Big 12, kudos to everybody who was involved And being able to successfully pull this off so we could get to a football game.
Yep, that's right, yeah.
Big, so frustrating.
Big kudos, yeah.
Yeah, it was so frustrating to lose. There's no doubt. I'm sure, I think I even retweeted a couple tweets and said, okay, you know, let's go ahead and cancel the college football season now, ha ha ha. You know, because K-State lost, funny. But in reality, it was great to have football back. And it was great to be able to sit back and watch a K-State football game. And, you know, feel emotion. Be able to at least sit there and be like, you know what, gosh, at least K-State's sitting here breaking my heart rather than me just having a dumb heart for no sports. So, I mean, at least, you know, at least sports was there. You know, at least we had it. And I do think that credit is, you know, deserves to be given out to everybody who helped pull it off so where we can have a successful first game. Now, there were three Big 12 games that were canceled, and I think that that's a possibility week to week. We very well – there was one game that was canceled Saturday morning. I'm blanking which Big 12 game it was, but one of them got canceled Saturday morning. I mean, it was that late. So, you know, this is something a lot to do with week to week. There may be games this year where K-State does have to have a game canceled that maybe have to move to a bye week or something like that to get it played. It's a possibility, you know, still to be determined, to see the effects that this has on the teams, in regards to COVID, but we got there. We talked about, can we get to the first game? We got to the first game. We had it. I think kudos, and credit deserves to be given out to everybody who was, who helped us with that. And then the second thing, is while it's frustrating to lose Eddie, I think that the coronavirus and this whole pandemic has really opened my eyes to the fact that while it's frustrating when your team lets you down, I think I have a different appreciation now for sports than I did prior to the pandemic. And as frustrating as it was to see K-State lose, I just wasn't as upset as I would have been from a K-State loss before the pandemic. Because I think that I really value being able to see my team, being able to watch sports more than I did prior. Because we had them taken away. And it was so painful to not have them. And it's almost like they have more meaning now. So, you know, I just encourage people to, you know, as frustrating as sports can be, as much as they can break your heart, you know, I think this has taught us to value it. Cherish it, everything that's going on right now, and to be able to enjoy it. And the third and final thing is, you know what, K-State wasn't the only team. We mentioned it at the top, but K-State was not the only Big 12 team to struggle this last weekend. Iowa State is on their way to another 5-loss season, I'm sure, as they lost to Louisiana, 31-14. So you thought K-State out of that. Just imagine losing by 17 points to your opponent. So, you know, they struggled against the Sun Belt opponent. KU, you know, Puka Williams gave his best. You know, we scheduled Coastal Carolina to get revenge and get payback on them. And, you know, that's what we do at Kansas. You know, we schedule revenge games. Well, Coastal Carolina said, joke's on you, Puka, and went ahead and won by 15 points. So that was just a... It's hard to talk trash when you lose to Arkansas State, but when KU does that, you know, you got to get a couple jabs at. So it was pretty funny to see KU get down 28-0 and
yeah, it was funny.
It was pretty nice. It was pretty nice to see that, and you know, the Les Miles experiment continues to kind of. I'm not going to say it implodes because it's too early to say that, but it's not panning out the way that KU thought it would. And so that was a beautiful sight, Eddie. That was a beautiful sight on a late Saturday night. So K-State was not the only team to struggle in the Big 12. I think the overarching takeaway for me here is that the coronavirus it's clearly had a serious impact this offseason. On teams, and like I said, you saw with Iowa State losing, you saw with K-State losing, you saw with KU losing. Texas Tech, who's a 43-point favorite against Houston Baptist, only won by 2 points, 35-33. No offense to Houston Baptist, I never heard of them. I don't know who that is. So, look, this is having an impact on teams. It really is. And I think that we need to keep that in mind. And Chris Kleiman said it in the offseason. He said, if players do not prepare right in the offseason, they will get exposed when the season begins. I think that you saw a lot of that week one from a lot of different teams. Now, can they right the ship? You know, and that doesn't just go for K-State. That goes for teams all across college football. And we will see within the next couple of weeks.
The Purple Project Podcast. Find it wherever you get your podcasts. You know what the deal is, K-State folks. Audio Boom, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Radio.com, and SoundCloud as well. Yeah, we'll find out here. Critical bye week here. Well, we're already in the bye week now, and then the week next week, Oklahoma. So, yeah, we'll see if K-State can come out and put their best foot forward. We'll leave it just like that because we are definitely out of time on this. This is the Purple Project Podcast. Folks, go Cats, and we'll talk to you next on the Purple Project Podcast. Alex, sir, we'll do this again next week.
Look forward to it, Eddie.
Are found on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Audio Boom, and more. We'll talk to you on the next edition of the Purple Project Podcast.